listening to the Abbey Award-winning Ben Taylor on the Abbey Award-winning Auburn Opelika This Morning.
Auburn Opelika This Morning, your news talk and information station, and pleased to welcome into the WANI hotline and a special guest is I got to thank Kevin Flanagan for making this possible, as Mark Immelman will join me, is joining me on the WANI hotline. Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
Ben, I am really good, and I'm glad to join you. Happy Monday to you.
It is. It is a habit. A lot of people, this is a tough spot to fill from time to time. People don't tend to want to work on Mondays for some reason. I'm not quite sure.
I can imagine after football season, golly. I mean, it's an important thing going on around here, isn't it?
It is. And especially this past weekend, being late and out on the West Coast. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say the reason we do this is usually during this time we do a church and pastor spotlight, and I'm not going to bestow the label of pastor on you, but because you do a host of many things, and Kevin told me, said, listen, you got to get this guy on. He's going to speak for us with the Edge, and going to be down at the Sehoy event that's going to be taking place at private property just south of here, south of Auburn, here in a couple of weeks, about a month or so away. And before I get into some of that, how did you get to this area? You know, you see Columbus State, and then you see South Africa, and I'm sitting there going, well, those two things don't go together.
Well, I guess it's just very serendipitous, and God's ways are higher than my ways, I think is how it works. Honestly, short story, I was a decent young golfer in South Africa, was caddying because I didn't think I was good enough to play on the tour just yet. And I met with an American guy, and he's like, what are you doing caddying? And he goes, you got to go to college. And I was like, how do you do that? And he said, stand by. I know a guy, and the guy was his father, who was the professional at Bull Creek Golf Course in Columbus, Georgia. So they recruit me. I come over here. Never been to Columbus. In fact, never been to Georgia. Never met the coach. Here I came, had a good career as a collegian, then went off and was teaching golf on the European Tour. And My college coach, Dr. Earl Bagley, called me up and he said, Mark, the coaching job is available. Are you interested? Mm. And at that stage, I was like, no, not so much. You know, the golf instructional career is going well and stuff. And he said, we'll let you give golf lessons as a sideline. And that was kind of the hook for me. Not that I didn't want to come back to the university, but, you know, getting into the United States as a foreign person is hard. Mm. Harder than they make it seem on the news, to be honest with you. So I came and I interviewed for the job, and my then fiance and I moved to Columbus, Georgia in August of 2001, just about, I don't know, a month maybe before September 11th. Mm-hmm. And we're still here. I started as the college coach. That morphed. I was giving lessons and was doing kind of successfully, and I have a younger brother whose name rhymes with a Masters champion, you know, won the event in 2008. And I don't want to say I fell into broadcasting, but things kind of lined up. I started with PGA Tour Radio. That grew into PGA Tour Live, their streaming service. And then one Friday morning, Tiger Woods was in the midst of a comeback, and I was on the call for him at Tampa, and he played his way into the lead. Mm. And PGA Tour Live was new at the time, and the word is that the servers at the tour crashed three times during the day while Tiger was playing, because folks were downloading and just logging on from everywhere. And somebody from CBS heard me, and here we are. Now I'm a CBS announcer, and I sometimes pinch myself because I'm in the company of guys like Jim Nance and Dottie Pepper and all of these titans of the industry, and then there's little old me. So it's a pretty cool story, but one, to be honest, it was impossible without the divine hand of God Almighty in it.
Well, and you say that, the divine hand, and that's one thing that that I wanted to bring you on and talking to Kevin, because I know you're going to be speaking at Sehoy, and you're going to be talking to the crew from the Edge and all these business associates. And, you know, at some point in time, sometimes it gets a little, let's just call it quote-unquote, faux pas to bring Christ into the workplace. That's not the way it is here at our office, and clearly not the way it is with you, but that is something that you haven't shied away from.
Look, I don't mean to sound like an evangelist here, because it's easy to shy away from it, especially, you know, in any industry, but in mine, which is as an announcer on the PGA Tour for CBS, you know, there's a lot of heavy hitting people, and we're all about performance, especially as an announcer. So it's very easy, because you can say just one thing that is wrong, and the next thing you'll get absolutely skewered on social media. So performance is a big thing, and it's easy to start to idolize oneself and lose the focus. And so I'm not yet to say that I'm in the television compound evangelizing, but I'm just trying to be me, do me, you know, try and shine my little light, to use a cliche, and sort of make people interested, if you will, and make them wonder how in this industry where everyone's being critiqued all the time, do you look like you kind of somewhat averse, although I'm not all the time, averse to all the commentary and such.
Well, and I use this example all the time. We were talking about our mutual friend, Kevin Flanagan, who runs The Edge, and Kevin drops the Daily Proverbs, The Edge Daily. Those of you that are out there, if you'll go get we call it the TED app, The Edge Daily app, and you'll get those proverbs sent to you, and you can sign up for that easily, and you can get involved in The Edge and contribute. But Kevin has told me numerous times when he got into whether I don't want to call it necessarily faith or preaching, but he said, you know, there comes a point where most people that find Christ do so by they either feel the fire or they see the light. You know, when you look back at your career / personal life, do you remember when that kind of happened, or were you raised that way? Were your parents, did they instill that in you, or is it one of those things there? You had a wake up call one day and you were like, there's a higher power than me.
Was kind of all of the above. I grew up in a Methodist church in South Africa, but I was just kind of a church goer. But I, you know, obviously the Word of God was inserted into my heart, but it was dormant. And then I came over to college, and I was a collegian. I'll leave it at that. Mm. And then, you know, there have been a few events that kind of directed me, and I remember going to church a few times in college, and I had a friend, Craig Adams, who dragged me along to church a few times, and so I remember buying a Bible. It would live on my bedstand in college, but it would get read once in a while, but that was about it. I still have that Bible, incidentally. Mm. And then, my future wife, Tracy Martin, you know, we came along, and we were longtime friends, but for the first 3 months of our relationship, we were in different countries and different cities. And so we spoke on the phone, and one of the first questions she asked me, she's like, "Are you a Christian?" And I suddenly said, yes, I kind of am, you know, because I was so interested in her. But jokes aside, there have been people along my path that have been bumpers, and they've bumped me to where I am right now. And there's always been someone, there's always been a little event here or there, and now with the benefit of hindsight, I can look back and see these things and see, you know, really the hand of God guiding me to where I am. And I'll cap it with this, Ben. I remember when I was teaching golf full-time here in Columbus, Georgia, in the middle of the summer, which you know what that feels like.
Oh, yeah.
We moved to the States, and the professional at the golf course that I was giving lessons at, Bull Creek, looked at me square in my eye and he goes, "You'll never make money back there." And long story short, I was booked up. I was giving lessons 6 days a week from 9 until 5, no lunch. And I was booked up 2 weeks out. Hmm. Folks were just coming from all corners for lessons with me. And I remember giving these lessons, but I always felt like there was something bigger inside of me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back on this, that time that I spent on this range at Bull Creek in the middle of the Georgia summer, sweating my rear end off, it was sort of like my desert experience, because looking back now, all of that set me up for where I am now, and it's given me the wherewithal and the wisdom to kind of look at golf in a different way. And I think that's how I fit into the CBS announce crew, because all of these experiences I had, this education in communication, helped me to where I am right now. So there's a lot going on, but I'm just thankful it all did.
Any pressure come with, you know, of course, coaching golf and you know, named in 09 as coach of the year. But, you know, there's more to it as we deal a lot with that here locally. I mean, being the home of Auburn University, we have coaches come in and out and how they touch young mm-hmm. people's lives. Do you ever have players that came in and asked questions and maybe needed some guidance or needed some – they were looking for the light, they just didn't quite have it yet?
When we moved over here, we lived in an apartment for a while, my wife and I. Mm-hmm. And we had this old couch that was given to us. And I was teaching a lot of golfers who were aspirant professionals and elite amateurs at the time. And they would come by, and our ministry really was for them to, because they couldn't afford as a young aspirant pro to come stay in a hotel and get lessons and such. So I'd give the lessons, and they'd stay with us. And this couch, Tracy dubbed, again, Tracy is my wife, she called it the crying couch, because there was more than one evening that one or other golfer broke down because of the rigors and the grind of the career they had chosen. Because golf is that kind of thing where you fail a whole lot more than you succeed. And so, yeah, there has been plenty of opportunity. And I wouldn't say that I sort of Bible bash them. Mm-hmm. Or we just loved on them, and we just, you know, it's cliched, but we treated the folks the way we wanted to be treated. We lift them up with words and a lot of affirmation, and then just by speaking differently and positively, I think it sets itself up for the odd question about, you know, how are you so positive given the situation? And so that opens the door. So that's always sort of been my approach. But to your question, yeah, we've had a lot of that sort of thing through my career as a coach and now a broadcaster.
When you come down and you speak to the men and women that are involved with the Edge at the Sehoy event, and I know that Kevin's going to have you as kind of a keynote speaker along with a couple of other people, what would be your message to some of the business owners and business leaders within the Auburn Opelika community? I shouldn't say Auburn Opelika community. He's dropped it. I told him, I said, all right, now you're flexing a little bit. He talked about how they got a little landing strip over there, so got a couple of people flying in that are going to come in from out of town. So not just Auburn Opelika community, but even other community members and CEOs. What's going to be your message when you speak to them?
You know what, I've wrestled with this a little bit, Ben. Right now, I'm not particularly sure. I'm going to wait for the inspiration. Because as a broadcast guy, I'm the kind of guy where if you script me, it's going to get a little messy. Mm-hmm. Before every show, I'll close my eyes and I'll just pray. And I'm like, God, here I am. Give me the words and I'm going to do my thing. But what I do want to say, and it was laid upon my heart to open up like this, because an opportunity like this for me, I honestly, within myself, don't believe that I belong. Mm-hmm. To in a situation where I'm getting up in front of business leaders and going, look, this is who I am, this is how I do it. So I'm going to admit that and say, look, I'm just a person, a human being, who has a unique gift that's now being used in an industry where it's well beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, I didn't get this far in my dream. And I'm going to let that sort of be the base for where I'm going to work off. But in terms of the message I want to share, I'm not entirely sure right now, but I'm sure it'll come to me.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, because I'm going to have some people that are listening to this and they go, okay, you still got to ask him about what's taking place with golf. Is golf in a good place right now?
Well, if you watch the news, they'll tell you no. if you get inside of the ropes, I think once, you know, with this whole live golf thing, once the whole hullabaloo blew over, you know, the players just got back to playing. Mm. And, you know, the folks went off to go play their other league, and the folks that stayed, they're doing their thing. And everything is sort of, you know, coming out in the rinse right now, the rinse cycle. Mm. And I think golf is in a really good place. We got some through it, you know, because the concern with golf always was like, well, what's going to happen post-Tiger Woods? Mm. But because of this, it's almost like the replacements for Tiger Woods, and I use that term sort of loosely, they shone. Like Rory McIlroy stood up and took the beacon. You know, he became the tip of the spear. And so there's been some real leaders that have stood up for the PGA Tour. In terms of the administration, I feel awfully sorry for Jay Monahan, commissioner of the Tour. Because he is, I mean, I was so disappointed in Atlanta at the Tour Championship when he was booed at the prize giving when they had to celebrate Victor Hovland, the winner. And I was like, all these people booing, they don't really know the entire story. But they get it on social media enough to get just something, and then they make these ill-informed decisions. So I think golf is good. The PGA Tour is in a good place. I think this new NewCo that's called, that's going to oversee all of the operations, it had to sort of happen because the Saudis were just going to outspend the tour all of the time. So for me, golf is good. But the truth is, Ben, I mean, myself and my colleagues, we get asked for our opinion. But when the show starts at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, our head is down and we're working and there's nothing else going on. So once you're in the trenches, it just feels like golf is happening as usual. And this week, later this week, I believe it is, the Fortinet event in Napa kicks off for the tour and we're right back at it. And the Ryder Cup is happening at the end of September. And so golf is back. And to me, golf is good, despite what the year.
That was my next question, is Ryder Cup in a couple of weeks, and it's been a long time since the Americans have gone over and been able to be the ones that come out on the advantageous end as far as foreign soil is concerned. And a couple of Zach Johnson, I'll say it in the golf world. By the way, I do a golf podcast too. Have a partner with me. We call it Dad Bod Golf Pod. And one thing that we've talked about, now we picked Justin Thomas, but he has caught a lot of flack for that pick on the Ryder Cup for the American team.
Yeah, he has. But you speak to any coach, you speak to a lot of them. I remember when I was a college golf coach, the coach's pick. The truth of coach's pick, or in this case, Zach Johnson's pick, is he can only be proved wrong, because if Justin Thomas, for argument's sake, plays well, it was like, okay, well, that was expected, right? But if he plays poorly, then it's coming down on Zach Johnson. But the thing about Zach Johnson, he's a devout Christian man.
He is.
Who is solid in his belief system, and he is a resolute guy. I mean, he is not afraid of anybody or anything. And look, if the JT pick doesn't work out and Justin doesn't win points or whatever, Zach will own up to it. He's just that sort of guy. But look, someone's got to make the selection, right? And he went with his inspiration. And so you just have to hand it to him. Look, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and all of us folks that do that, we've not really been there. So I respect him for going with the courage of his convictions. Personally, me, I would have considered one or two other folks, but I'm sure he did, knowing Zach Johnson as I do. So I just wish them all the very best, and I'm looking forward to the Ryder Cup.
It should be interesting. Same thing with the Europeans. When you first look at the lineup, that the possibles that they were going to put out there, you thought, man, this is going to be a big mismatch between the Americans and the Europeans. However, now that you've seen that the team has been announced, it seems like they're going to be able to put up a pretty good fight against the Americans. And I'm kind of hoping for it to come down to the singles on Sunday. I hope we don't find ourselves in a situation where we're all bored on Saturday afternoon.
I doubt it. I just think Italy is going to, well, Europe's going to show up in Italy. You know, Europe is so small and it's so easy to get to places. You know, everything's so close together that there's going to be an influx of fans. Goodness gracious, they're having the opening ceremony, from what I understand, at the Colosseum. And this is going to be historic. There's such a cool story about the event and about the family. Her name's Lavinia Biagiotti. Their family owned the golf course, and her mom was the inspiration to bring the Ryder Cup there. And during COVID, everything fell on hard times, and Lavinia, who's like she's almost the person who brought this whole thing to Italy, was mowing the fairways herself because there was no workers available. So there's such a cool story behind it all. And I'm sure the Europeans are going to be up for this. They got a solid team too.
They do.
And I'm pretty confident that this thing will come down to singles. And I have a sense it's going to be a little closer than people think it may.
I didn't at first. I do. I did that the last couple of weeks when we've taken a look at it. I do now. I do feel that it's gonna come down to a hopefully a wonderful Sunday afternoon finish. We shall see. So, Mark, as Kevin set this up, I'm glad he did. I really appreciate you sharing your story, and we look forward to in a few weeks in October the CEHO event. You coming down and speaking to these young business leaders and owners, some of them not so young. I'm not going to call their names out, but especially when it comes to people like Kevin. But the time that you're given, I mean, that's a mission in and of itself, as busy as you are. One, to visit would be, but number two, to share your story with the young leaders and leaders of this community in a few weeks.
You know what, Ben? Thank you for saying that. I just want people to see, and I guess I'm getting back to your question now, and you maybe have been some of the inspiration for what I plan to say. You know, I look on where my family and I are, and I just, I'm the personification of the fact that anything is possible. Mm. And like on the back of my wristwatch my wife gave to me for my 40th, it's got Proverbs 16:3 on the back of it, which is basically commit your works unto the Lord and he'll make your ways straight, or he'll establish your path. And anything is possible if you position yourself. Now, maybe someone's not going to be as fortunate as me to be able to go and call golf alongside Jim Nance and Nick Faldo and company, but, you know, we all have our place to be, and I'm fortunate to be where I am.
Very well said. Mark, thank you for your time. You've been very gracious, and I'm not going to say good luck. I'll say break a leg whenever you have to speak in front of all those young men and women, okay?
I appreciate you. Thank you, Ben.
All right. Thank you. Mark Emmelman, as you can hear him at the CEHO event, as Kevin will have more about that when he talks about the big screen movie reviews a little bit later on in the week. Back with more in a moment. Fox News just after this.
This is Auburn Opelika This Morning with Ben Taylor.
News Talk WKNI.